Take your Bibles tonight and turn with me to the book of Psalms, please. Psalm chapter 86. Psalm chapter 86 tonight. I had four verses of scripture on my mind, and I thought I was going to preach it all in one service, and I didn't even get through the first verse this morning. Amen. So we'll just go with God. Say amen. That's the best thing to do, isn't it? Just go with the Lord. I'm going to allow you to stay seated tonight. I'm going to read five verses of scripture here. The Bible said, "Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all of them that call upon thee." Pray with me a moment. Father, thank you tonight for the privilege to come in your presence. And God, you know we can't do anything without your help. Would you help us tonight, our Father, as we approach the scripture, Lord? I pray, God, that you'd help us to open our hearts and our ears tonight to the Word of God. Lord, we sure do thank you tonight for your salvation that's so full and so free. Thank you, Lord, that we can preach tonight with absolute assurance that thou art ready to forgive. Lord, you're a gracious God. And I pray, Lord, tonight you'll just help us in the service. Lord, speak to the heart of the lost. Speak to the heart, our Father, that one, Lord, that's drifted away. And Lord, help all of us and encourage us tonight, Lord, to go on. David just continued on. Help us to do the same. In thy name we pray. Amen and amen. We told you this morning, and I hope I listened to Brother Kenny pray and thank God once again for the meeting with Brother Keith. And if you don't know it, I'll tell you right now, next year we've already planned to have Brother Keith back, and we're going to go five nights next year besides the Sunday. And that's what we're going to put on the schedule. I'm still looking for one of those meetings where you can't shut it down, amen, where God just comes down and continues to work in people's hearts. I don't know when that's going to happen. I don't know where it's going to happen. I just know I want it to happen. Amen. I want his presence to be so real. Brother Keith spoke to us about, are you ready? Are you ready for your trial? Are you ready to go? Are you ready to get dressed? And then that last service was, are you ready for the trumpet? That trumpet's going to sound, young and say amen. And I just, you know, I want to be ready. I'm not talking about just being saved. This Bible said that many are going to stand before him ashamed at his coming. They're saved. The Word of God said in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, so as by fire. They got saved. They got delivered from the condemnation of sin and the damnation of hell, and then just sat and never done anything for the Lord. How sad, amen? How sad it would be for Jesus to come and find us in such a shape. I want to be like Jesus when he said, let's work while it's day, because the night's coming when no man can work. Amen. Now I want to look at this chapter tonight. I told you this morning that seven times in the chapter, the Hebrew word for Lord is Adonai, which means master. I want to show them to you. In verse number 3, it says, be merciful unto me, O Lord. And then in verse number 4, he says, rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good, in verse number 5. In verse number 8, he said, there's none like unto thee, O Lord. And then in verse number 9, he said, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. In verse number 12, O Lord, my God. And then in verse number 15, O Lord, Thou, Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. Now, if you'll notice in your Bible, And I guess it's this way in everybody's Bible. But if you'll notice, like in verse number 6, you have the words, O Lord. But do you see that Lord is in all capital letters? That's making a different designation to the Hebrew name. That's Yahweh. That's where we get Jehovah. That's the personal name of God. But in that Adonai, we're looking at him as master. I don't know about you, but I served that other master for 27 years of my life. That other master is a liar, Brother Jack. He'll tell you this is good when it ain't good. He'll tell you this is fun. He won't show you the end of the road. I've often wondered, when are they going to put an ugly woman on a billboard advertising a cigarette or a bottle of beer? They never put an ugly woman up there. It's always a beautiful woman. Amen. It's got somebody, everything right in the right place. Amen. They probably even touched up the photo. Say amen. I ain't seen too many that didn't need to be touched up. Say amen right there, fellas. Amen. And I ain't seen too many men that touching up would help. Say amen. I've said for years, anybody having a trouble telling the difference between a man and a woman, for me it's always been easy. Woman pretty, man ugly. Amen. You ever get mixed up on that, you're just in bad shape. You start seeing pretty men, you better go the other way. Amen. There's something wrong. But here in the Word of God, David said, he's my master. I serve that other master. And I tell you what, there's nothing like having Jesus as Lord in your life. Amen. And Savior. He didn't just save me from sin, but as the choir sang, he wants to lead us, Brother Dale. He wants to lead us down the way. Amen. And he wants to help us. Let's look at this chapter tonight. Look at a few things tonight. I'm talking about a ready Redeemer. You know, the question Brother Keith asked was, are you ready? And I guess what God's put in my heart, just to put the emphasis on this, he's ready. Are you ready? I can't answer that, but I know this. I can answer this. He's ready. That's what David wanted us to know, that God is good. He's ready to forgive. And he's plenteous in mercy. Amen. That's what he wants us to know. Now, I want you to think about, I told you a little bit, I'm not going to re-preach this morning's message, but David knew what it was to mess up. And I want to say it like this, to mess up royally. He didn't just mess up, but buddy, he blew it. Say amen. And, you know, David, you think about all the psalms that God gives us through the life of David. And beloved, they come, listen to me carefully right here, out of experience. David's not reading some commentary and saying God's good and God's ready to forgive. Honey, he knows it from experience. Amen. How many's experienced the goodness of God? And you've experienced the forgiveness of God. And you've experienced when you fell on your face and said, God, I need some mercy. Here he comes with that mercy. Amen. I thank God David's not speaking out of somebody else's experience. I'm going to show you that in just a moment. But this morning, what we looked at really was just the first thing, and that was David's confession. In Psalm chapter number 51, David is confessing to the Lord. Amen. I don't understand it all, but I think we need to put an emphasis right here. David didn't say, oh God, I've sinned against Bathsheba. That was true. He didn't say, oh God, I've sinned against Uriah. That was true. He didn't say, oh God, I've sinned against my own body. When you commit adultery, the Bible teaches that that's true. He didn't say, oh God, I've sinned against the nation of Israel, though that was true. Amen. He said, against thee, and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Amen. Honey, I'm going to tell you something tonight. Business picks up when you realize how holy God is and how sinful that we are. Amen. And you bring that together. And David is confessing. And then we see David's contrition. I won't spend a lot of time on this. But he says, bow down thine ear, O Lord, and hear me, for I am poor and needy. You know what the Bible says about this contrite heart? It said, God will draw near. I mean, you can stub up in your pride and God's going the other way. But you can humble your heart before God, and here he comes. Amen. He said, I'll draw nigh to him that's of a broken and a contrite spirit. Amen. And David has that. I want you to see that this contrition is personal. I want you to see how personal it is. Look in verse number 1. He said, hear me, for I am poor and needy. I want you to look in verse number 2. He said, here, thou art my God. It's personal. Do you see that right there? Look at verse number 3. Be merciful unto me. I'm telling you, it's personal. It's one man and his God. And I'm going to tell you, the best times you'll ever have as a Christian will not be in a church setting. It'll be when it's one man and his God. One woman and her God off in the corner somewhere. Amen. I appreciate that. Brother John, I thought about something, and I'm going to tell the church. I used to call Brother John, and I'd say, Brother John, I don't feel well. I'm sick. He said, now, preacher, what you need to do is get off in the corner somewhere and repent. I'm telling you, everybody needs a friend like John Dockery. Amen. But I've noticed the last couple of years, he's sick about as much as I am. He don't say that anymore. Amen. Ain't that right, Sister Kathy? Amen. He don't say that anymore. But I'm going to say it once before Jesus comes anyway. You're going to call me and say, I'm sick. I'm going to say, get off in the corner somewhere and repent, and you'll get better. Amen. But David here, it's personal with him. Hear me. You're my God. If you look at verse 6 and verse number 7, give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer. In verse number 6, my prayer. In verse number 7, in the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, I love the church atmosphere. I love coming to church. I love you all. I love God's people. Amen. But I'm telling you, there's no substitute for that personal one-on-one time with God. Amen. If you want to know, beloved, that he is ready to forgive. And then we saw the cleansing. He said, I'm holy. There's only one way that David could be holy, and that was to be cleansed by the Lord. I want you to notice in verse number 3, his consistency. We need more of this. I call it stick 'em. Amen. Look in verse number 3. He said, be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee. What's the last word in that verse? Amen. Not in and out and up and down once in a while. But every day David understood, beloved, listen, that he needed the Lord, amen, in his life. And that God was ready to forgive. Look here in verse number 5. Let's look at David's confidence in verse number 5. He said, for thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. You know, turn with me to Romans chapter 10 for just a minute. This is the way the Lord's leading. Romans chapter number 10 for just a minute. I'll show you something right here. He said, you're good to all them that call upon thee. Romans chapter number 10. Watch this now. The Bible said in verse number 13, everybody knows this verse, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, David wasn't calling on God to be saved in that scripture, amen. He was calling on God, beloved, to be forgiven, amen. But watch this. The Bible said, how then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? I'm going to tell you something right now. You'd be an absolute fool to be talking to somebody that you didn't believe was listening, that you didn't believe was there. Say amen. I'm trying to tell you, beloved, this thing of daily walking with God, that David, he understood that God was on the other end of the line, and that God was interested, and that God was listening. He said, bow down your ear. He said, how are they going to call on him whom they not believe? How are they going to believe in him whom they not heard? How are they going to hear without a preacher? All I'm saying is, beloved, to call on the Lord without faith is a waste of time. The Bible tells us in the book of James that we've got to believe God. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, listen, when we get sideways with God, if we really believed that he was merciful and believed he was ready to forgive, we'd fall on our face, tell God, help me and forgive me of my sin. He had that confidence. In verse number 11, you see it again. He said, teach me thy way, O Lord. And he said, I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. He had that confidence. Let me give you this. Look at verse number 12. I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart. Let me tell you what one of the biggest problems I believe in the Christian life today is. A divided heart. Everybody hear what I just said? A divided heart. We've got our attention here and here and here and here and here and here. And we've got our focus here and here and here and here. And we've got to do this and this and this and this. When David said, unite my heart. Amen. There are people that they act like that you get God out on Sunday and you go to church with him. And then you go to work on Monday morning and you just put him up until Wednesday night. Then Wednesday night you get him out again. Let me tell you something right now. This experience that David's having with this God that's ready to forgive is a daily experience. Amen. I tell you, if you'll get around somebody that maybe is trying to build somebody up. Listen, this was said about my dad often. It said, this is what people would say about my dad. They'd say he's the same at the grocery store. He's the same if he's sweating and mowing the grass. He's the same if he's on top of the roof and he's sweating. He's the same down at the church house. Honey, how many believes that's the way it ought to be? Say amen. We hadn't ought to be this here and this here and this here. I call them chameleons. Say amen. They just blend in with whatever surrounding they're in. Honey, Christ ought to be there every day, every hour of every day as we walk with him. And beloved, David said, unite my heart, O Lord. We see that here in the scripture. We see David's calamity. In other words, here comes these people on the TV today, a bunch of liars. Not all of them, but I said a bunch of them are liars. They'll say, if you love God, you won't be sick. And if you'll send me $100, you'll get better. You understand what I mean? Say amen. They're a bunch of liars. What they need is one more airplane, one more airport to land it on. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, listen to me. Some of the most precious saints of God you'll ever meet in your life are right here on the pages of this book. And they suffered. Paul suffered. He suffered. David said here, he's a man after God's own heart. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee. We see his calamity. Amen. I'm telling you, just because you love the Lord does not mean, as Brother Keith shared with us, that you're going to escape the trials of life. They're coming. Amen. David said here, thou wilt answer me in the day of my trouble. If you look at verse number 13 down through verse number 15, he said, great is the mercy, thy mercy toward me. Thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. O God, the proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul and have not set thee before them. Watch this now. Glory to God. I like it. Look at verse 15. He said, but thou, O Lord, there he is, master again, art a God full of compassion and gracious and long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. You say, Pastor, why did you read all this? Because, yes, there's calamity. But let me tell you this. His compassion is greater than the calamity. Amen. God will not always take us out of the calamity, but he will deliver us through the calamity. Amen. He didn't take Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego out of the fire and keep them from having to go in the fire, but he did go with them. Amen. And he did bring them out in the end. He didn't keep Job, amen, from being sick and covered with boils and losing his children, but he did go with him. And the Word of God said, God bless the latter end of Job more than the beginning. That's the God we serve tonight. Amen. A God of compassion. One that's ready, amen, to forgive. If you look here in verse number 10, the Bible said here, for thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. This is a term that's used frequently in the Psalms. And it speaks of that wondrous thing, speaks of God's miracles of salvation. When I studied that and read that, I thought about a song. I don't know all the words to the song, but one of the lines in the song is, one of the greatest of all miracles is when Jesus saved me. Glory to God. That's the way every born-again believer ought to feel. The greatest miracle in the world is when God came to where I was and spoke to my heart and birthed me into the family of God. It's a wondrous thing to know the Lord. In this scripture here, verse number 12, he said, I will praise thee. This was David's custom. He said, I'll praise thee, O Lord, my God, with all of my heart, and I will glorify thy name forever, forevermore. On any given Sunday morning, wouldn't it be something if you could just go through and just lay people's hearts out on the pew? The pastor's trying to give the invitation. Amen. Maybe somebody's raised their hand that they're not right with God. And especially somebody's raised their hand that they're not saved. They don't know the Lord. And on any given Sunday morning, the Word of God said, here, I'll praise thee, O Lord God, with all of my heart. And on any given Sunday morning, if you lay that in them hearts out there, some of them will be at the steakhouse. Some of them would be with the family. Amen. Some of them would be down there at the ball game. You understand where I'm coming from? David said, I'm not praising you in a half-hearted manner. He said, you've got my full attention, Lord, and I'm praising you because you are. Listen, God, the Word of God's teaching us here, He's good. He's God. He's God in the times of trouble, and He's God in the times of triumph. Amen. When we're winning, He's God. And when it looks like our back is to the wall, He's still God. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, when they were holding up Moses' hands on top of the mountain and the children of Israel winning, He was God. And when they were backed up against the Red Sea, He was still God. Amen. And God made them a way. I like that, don't you? A ready Redeemer. He's ready to forgive. Thank God. Look at David's courage. Verse number 14, the Bible said, O God, the proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul, and have not set thee before them. Let me just say this tonight. I hope it don't come to pass, but I can see in our future as God's people, I can see there coming a day when it's going to take some courage to pick up your Bible. It's going to take some courage to give somebody a gospel tract. It's going to take some courage, amen, to witness to somebody. It's going to take some courage to go down to the house of God. Amen. Because I'm telling you, before Jesus comes, nobody knows what we're going to go through. We're no better than the early church. Amen. And I thank God old Stephen had the courage to stand up there and preach it like it was to them, just like they were. You say he just preached one message. He was a failure. Oh no, Jesus didn't stand up and look over the banisters of heaven and welcome him home because he was a failure. I'm telling you, he did exactly what God wanted him to do. And God took him home. I'm just telling you, listen, you say, preacher, do you really believe? Listen, have you even watched any news? Listen, I don't believe you ought to watch too much news, but I don't believe you ought to bury your head in the sand. I'm going to tell you something. There's some weird ideas in this country. I said weird. You want to know my definition of weird? Anti-God. Anti-Bible. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, there's people that'll fight for the right to cut the youngins' genitals off. They'll fight for it. Amen. They're livid about it. They're crazy. God's still making them male and female. Amen. That's the way God's doing it. Amen. And David in his day, he said, God, the proud are risen up against me and the assemblies of violent men. I believe there can come a day real quickly where it's going to take some courage to get in the pulpit and preach. You know what I believe is going to happen, Brother Turtle? I believe there's going to be some separating going on. You're going to find out who God's men are. God's men that said, we'll lock you up if you preach against that. God's men just going to preach against that. Not because he just started, just like old Daniel. They said, we'll throw you in that den of lions if you pray. He didn't start praying. He just prayed like he always did. Say amen. God's people, but God's men, Brother Dale, going to preach just like he always preached. God's singers are going to sing just like they always sung. David knew what it was to be in trouble, but he also knew what it was for God to deliver him. Amen. He knew what it was for God to deliver him and to forgive him. Let's look at this with me just a moment. I'm almost done. A ready Redeemer. I want to show you something here that I trust it'll be a blessing to you tonight. I mean this from the bottom of my heart. Look at this last verse right here. Well, I'm going to read the last two verses real quickly. David said, "Oh, turn unto me and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength." He said, "Give thy strength unto thy servant." You see, that goes with that word master all through the psalm. He was a servant. By the way, I don't believe there's a better title that could be tagged on a child of God's life than to be a servant of the Most High God. I've said for years, and I believe it's so, the best Christians are servants. The best mamas and daddies are servants. The best preachers are servants. The best deacons, the best Sunday school teachers, the best choir director, the best choir members were servants of the Most High God. He said here, "And save the son of thine handmaid." Look at verse 17. "Show me a token for good." Now I want to explain something here, if I may. "That they which hate me may see it and be ashamed." In some cases, it might be wrong to say, "Show me a sign for good." In other words, if it's this kind of attitude, if you're saying, "God, if you'll show me, I'll believe you. Or if you'll show me, I'll know you love me." That's not what David's talking about here. If you read it in its context, David is saying, "Lord, I want you to show me a token for good, because there's an enemy out there that needs to know that your hand is upon my life." Amen. He wanted them to see. You remember what Nehemiah said? "The good hand of my God was upon me." And David wanted them to see. He said that they which hate me might see. Answers to prayer are a sign for good. The preservation of our character is a sign for good. Deliverance from trouble is a sign for good. Joy in a surrendered life is a sign for good. A sense of forgiveness is a sign for good. Confidence in God is a sign for good. Knowing and declaring the greatness of God is a sign for good. He said, "With the proud and violent men as enemies, it is a sign for good." I want you to know tonight, I believe it's all right to say, "Lord, listen to me. I would hate to think that anybody would come and go and come and go and not know God's helped my preacher." I'm going to tell you something right now. Your preacher can't do it without Jesus. He has to help me. He has to help me. Very seldom do I know ahead of time what I'm going to preach. But I went home Wednesday night after the meeting, got a little thought on my heart, and began to look up the scripture, and there's four verses that God gave me. And this one right here, "Thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive." Turn with me to Isaiah chapter number 38 real quickly. Isaiah chapter 38. This was the second verse. And I'm not going to preach this one. I'm just going to give it to you. It goes hand in hand with the first one. Listen to what Isaiah wrote in Isaiah chapter number 20. Actually, it's Hezekiah doing the writing. It's in God's word. Chapter number 38, verse number 20. He said, "The Lord was ready to save me." Ain't that good? Now listen, this salvation right here is not talking about the salvation of the soul. You remember Hezekiah was ready to die. And he prayed to God. And what did God do? He gave him 15 more years. Honey, this thing of life, it ain't supposed to be in our hands. It's in his hands. Amen. It's in the hands of the Lord. He said, "The Lord was ready to save me. Therefore, we will sing my songs to the stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord." I believe tonight it's one thing to be saved from sin, being born again. But I believe if we look back at our life, there's times that God spared our testimony. There's times that God spared our Christian influence. There's probably people in here, I'll tell you, I'm one of them, that God spared my marriage. I can't look down on somebody that lost their marriage, because I know it's the grace of God that I've been married to one woman all these years. And I'm not putting that on her account. That's on my account. When we first got married, I wasn't easy to live with. But God, Brother Larry, spared my marriage. God looked down through time. God said, I got a job for you, boy. I didn't even have any idea what was going on. I looked at some pictures today. Amen. And when I was young, there was a word that went with that young. Dumb. Young and dumb. Amen. Yeah, I know what some of you are thinking. Now you're just old and dumb. You think whatever you want to. Amen. I'll tell you one thing right now. I might be a nut, but I'm screwed on the right bolt. Amen. I'm hooked up with the Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He said, I tell you what I'm going to do all the days of our life in the house of the Lord. I'm going to praise Him. I'm going to praise Him. He delivered my soul. He's delivered me from sin. He's delivered my testimony. He's delivered my home. And He's worthy tonight of my praise. He is a God tonight. You find yourself in a place in need of forgiveness. He is a God that is ready, ready to forgive. David said He's good. David said He's ready to forgive. And David said He's plenteous in mercy. God's got plenty of mercy. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank You tonight for Your word. Thank You, God, for David. Lord, I know David writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But I know, Lord, David shares with us things You had him to share with us that most of us wouldn't want to share. We'd be ashamed of. Lord, there's a lot of things in my life I'm ashamed of. But I want You to know, Lord, by the grace of God, I'll never be ashamed of You. You're the one, Lord, with mercy. You're the one with forgiveness. And I pray, dear God, tonight that You'd help us all to realize the only hope. Matter of fact, Lord, the last thing in that chapter, You just reminded me of it. He said, Lord, You've hoped me. You helped him. And You've comforted me. Lord, our comfort comes from the God of all comfort. And it was a blessing to David to know that he had been forgiven, that he served a God that was ready to forgive. Help us tonight. Our heads are bowed tonight. Our eyes are closed. No one looking around. Just a moment, please.